It's one of those iconic institutions here in the city of Galesburg. Been around for a long, long time, provided a lot of family fun and entertainment over the years. Northgate Lanes, and the owner of Northgate Lanes, Art Spires, in with us this morning. Also, one of his employees there, Tyler Unger. As we welcome our guest this morning, Art, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tom. Good to see you.
Great. Thanks for coming in with us this morning. Tyler, thanks so much for coming in with us this morning. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Very good. All right. So, Art, just over 15 years now that you have been the owner of Northgate Lanes. Talk about that whole process, why you were interested, and how that all came about.
Okay. Well, yeah, it was a winding road to get to that point. Let me just say that. But an associate of mine, friend of mine, became aware of the fact that the bowling alley was up for sale. Mary Strong was the owner at the time, and I believe she owned it for about 14 years, but she was ready to move on, and so I was working at Trilucians at the time, I felt that I needed to branch out a little bit more. The computer industry is certainly still viable, but the nature of that is, you know, more staples and online and that type of thing, and not so much sales but more service, and we're continuing to do that. But I was looking for something else to involve myself with more, and so we explored the option, and accidentally wound up buying it.
Well, and that's quite a change. I mean, a couple of very, very different industries, and especially going to becoming a business owner as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And running a bowling alley, well, each business is different, but running a bowling alley is very, very different than, for comparison, a storefront type of operation, you know.
Had you ever been an avid bowler at all? How interested were you in bowling?
I would never use the term avid. I remember bowling back in high school days. You know, went to Galesburg High School and we came over there bowling now, and then would go out with friends in the evening. But I was never a league member. It was just a recreation thing to do thing to do with friends and family, that type of thing, and that's a big part of the business, is just that kind of activity.
So since you've owned the place, have you become any more avid, or do you even have time?
No and no. Okay, I do have my own bowling ball and shoes, mm-hmm. and they're very comfortable in a bag sitting in my office, and they haven't seen the light of day in it for about a year, actually. I'm not the bowler. I'm not the athlete. It's fun, but it's the kind of thing that the more you do, the more bowling you do, the better you're going to be, because you're getting the practice and the routine of it. And if I bowl three times a year, that doesn't exactly qualify for active practice. So
that's me, and that's my problem. I don't do it very often, because when I go do it, I am so horribly bad that I don't want to do this again for a long time, because it's so embarrassing. I've always said if I could flip-flop my golf and bowling scores, I'd be pretty good at both.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
but, you know, I can't, you know, not being able to hit 100 in bowling, but well over 100 in golf, that's not a good combination. So that bowling's not the only thing that goes on in Northgate Lanes. We're going to start on that. Tyler Unger, also, who works there at Northgate, more the expert on the bowling side. Tyler, have you been a young man who's kind of bowled all your life?
I've actually been bowling for over 20 years now.
Wow.
And I'm only 24, so over 20 years already. A lot of experience.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to start. So, did you play in high school? They don't have boys teams.
They don't actually
technically
have the boys team.
Yeah.
When I was a senior in high school, they just came out with the Abingdon boys team, and they were trying to get some of us to transfer down there to try and kind of come down there, but it never quite worked out that way. So, I never had the chance to actually bowl in high school.
So starting at 4 years old, at what point did you first, have you bowled in leagues growing up?
I've always bowled since I was 4 years old in a league.
Wow.
We actually have the Yabba League that still goes today. I started in that league and started them with the bumper rails up, and now have worked my way to where I don't need them so much. Some nights I think that I do, but other nights, you know, it's spot on. So
I don't know if you've ever seen this, but when my two older kids were very young, we took them out to Northgate on bumper bowling night, and I actually still threw a gutter ball.
It happens.
I let it go hard enough, and still, I have my issue. I can't make my arm go straight. It goes left or right. I don't know. I can't. I've never been able to figure it out. I guess like Art said, it's that muscle memory of doing it over and over.
And bowling is a very consistent thing. Yeah. You have to be very consistent with any sport. It's that way. But bowling more so, because if you're not, you know, very at the same line, at the same approach, it can get very hairy very quickly.
So I guess it gets to a point where it's more of a mental thing, not unlike golf.
It is very mental. You have to be in the right mindset when you come up there. If you're thinking about something else, you're not going to make a good shot.
Even if I'm concentrating, it doesn't help me much. Tyler Unger works at Northgate Lanes. Art Spires, the owner of Northgate, joining us here this morning on Galesburg Live. So, Art, the journey getting to Northgate and becoming the owner a little more than 15 years ago. What was it in particular? Was it something about that business in particular interested you, or just the fact you wanted to do something else? Like, well, this sounds kind of like a cool thing. Let's give this a shot.
More so the latter. I mean, it was a business. It was available. Obviously, that was a key part of it. In knowing that Northgate Lanes had been there, like, you know, well, it's literally 60 years now. Which is quite a long time, and that I had previous history back in high school days and everything. So I thought that would be something interesting, and I said, why not? Give it a shot.
You know, at one time we had, what, 3 bowling alleys here in town?
At least, well, plus you had, I think there was one out on East Main Street.
Out there by kind of close to where Hy-Vee's at, and then one out on Grand Avenue,
and then there were lanes at Knox College, which they took out a few years ago. Yeah, they had, I think it was 4 lanes.
Oh, wow.
I graduated from Knox, so that's why I knew that, but yeah, when they remodeled their union, they took those lanes out. And the Galesburg Club, which doesn't exist anymore, that had bowling lanes there. So, yeah, there were several places in town where you could bowl, but that's typical nationwide. There's a lot of empty and torn down bowling alleys all across the country.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that coming up, because it seems like that, and I guess part of it, like anything else, there are so many other things to do in life now that people don't take time necessarily for that as a recreation as much. There's still a lot of leagues and everything, but it seems like in some ways there's maybe a little bit of a resurgence going on too, because, you know, you can drive by on any night, especially a weekend night, and it looks like your parking lot's full out there.
We like to see it that way.
Exactly, yeah. Well, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
You are also seeing new ones open, like the big sports complex up in Bettendorf, you know, Bass Pro Shop over there has their...
Oh, I didn't know they had bowling in there.
They've got, I don't know, 6, 8 lanes, okay. Something like that. They're very unique, okay?
Yeah, again, I've seen the one in the place in Northwoods Mall that's got the big gaming place, that they've got a few lanes in there, and it's like, you know, all the different colored lights, and they have some of the bowling balls look like basketballs and stuff. So I guess you're trying to...
It's more of a recreational
activity. Yeah, kind of a niche. Yeah, you're not having leagues there or anything.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly. It's appealing to the what we refer to as the open bowler, as opposed to the league bowler.
Well, Art Spires is the owner of Northgate Lanes, and Tyler Unger, an employee there, and we'll talk more bowling, and we'll talk about some of the other things they do there at Northgate Lanes coming up. We'll take a break here and get an update on news and come back with more. This is Galesburg Live. Our guest here this morning, first hour of Galesburg Live, Art Spires, the owner of Northgate Lanes. He's had the business for just a little over 15 years, just celebrated the 15th anniversary, as a matter of fact. Art joining us this morning, also one of the employees there, Tyler Unger. We were talking, Art, a little bit before the break about bowling, I guess more on the recreational side, that, you know, it's just like anything. There are certain businesses that have completely gone away. You have, you know, for instance, like an Aladdin's Castle that was out of the mall, places like that, and that's because, you got all the video games and stuff you can do at home. I guess that includes bowling with the Wii that people have done, which I've never done that, but just so many other things that go on. There's so much to do that it seemed like, as you said, there's a lot of bowling alleys around the country that have shuttered, but it seems in some ways like maybe it's making a little bit of a comeback. Have you seen that maybe over the last few years, or?
Well, I would, I that's hard to say if really, but at least in our case, it's been fairly consistent on right. the league level. You have some ups and downs. You know, 1 year a league will lose a couple of teams, and the next year, why they'll add them back on again. But that without all that's been pretty consistent, and If you wanted to ask me, you know, why I think that's true, it's because league bowling is not the same as Wii bowling,
right?
But depending upon what particular group that you're talking about, I think the appeal varies. Men leagues in the evening. Are very, very sports-centric, I would say. They're very competitive. You want to do well. You want to beat the team that you're bowling against. You want to finish in the top half of the league and get more of the prize money. You know, that it's a very much sports-competitive type right. of environment. The senior bowlers, on the other hand, you know, with they've lowered the age now, 50 is considered senior now.
Wow. And I guess I qualify.
There you go. Come on out. But you notice with them, it's all about getting out of the house. It's all about social. I mean, they're there to just really socialize with their team members, their league members, and just really have fun, a good time, a lot of joking and talking. Sometimes they get so busy talking they forget that they're still supposed to be bowling, you know. So it's depending on which group, you know, there's the appeal is there, but it varies by the age and by the type of group that it is.
How about on the recreational side? Is that a part of the business that's been pretty consistent for you still, or is that kind of up and down also?
Well, it's very much seasonal,
right?
For example, yeah, we're barely open in the summer. We can talk about that later if you want to.
Sure.
But we wait until, you know, football's over. You know, that affects our Friday night open bowling attendance, and as it gets colder and they can't be out golfing, they can't be out on the rivers or lakes or things like that, why then it's okay, what do I do, you know, for on a Friday night or a Saturday night? And that's when it really picks up. So that's our peak season is when, well, it doesn't have to have a polar vortex, of course, to get them in the door, but definitely that's when that kicks in big time.
Well, one of the things I hope didn't affect the business negatively, but that I liked was when the smoking ban went in effect in Illinois, the tough thing in bowling alleys with that low ceiling, man, it was tough with the smoking, that smoke would just hang there really low. And I like the fact that that's gone. And the fact that you can walk in there and not smell it anymore is pretty amazing after all the years of it being open with that. But did you see that have an effect one way or the other on the business at all?
Well, first off, there's a reason why you don't smell that now, Tom, because the statewide smoking ban basically coincided when we had the fire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot
about
that.
And everything was torn out and washed down and repainted and everything after that. And so we found, like, air returns, we had no idea what their real color was. when they got cleaned off and everything, it was quite amazing. But I would not say that was a fortuitous situation, but it certainly did make for a difference, and so you definitely, it had a lot of appeal, particularly for the open bowlers and for families that didn't want to bring, you know, their children in, for example, to a place that was just smelled like smoke and you leave it with the smell still hanging in your clothes and hair and that kind of thing. So that was very noticed by those type of people, the open bowling people, and definitely they appreciated it.
Art Spires, the owner of Northgate Lanes for a little more than 15 years now. Tyler Unger works there as well. And Tyler, as we established, just 24 years old. You've been bowling since you were 20. Art mentioned that Wii bowling and bowling are not exactly the same. I'm guessing you've done the Wii bowling before,
I guess
you're probably pretty good at it.
I'm actually not too good at Wii bowling.
Oh, really? So
it is that much different. There's actually some tricks, I guess, you can learn to Wii bowling. I've been told that you can make it to where you strike every time and things like that. But I've never actually been the one to, you know, be good at Wii bowling. But if I take them out to, you know, Northgate Lanes, then we can show them what's really up. But no, it is completely different. You know, in bowling, if you bowl three games, actually, it's like walking a mile. It's actually equivalent to. So it's, you know, we bowling, you're sitting in your living room. And you're right. Sitting on your couch. You can do it from there. So it's a whole different game completely.
Yeah, and actually, we talk about it being recreation, but you do get some exercise, and you mentioned the seniors, so there is some movement, and I suppose also if you're doing it properly with the knee bend and everything, you're really getting some great exercise for your legs.
You can really get some exercise, and that's why our seniors come out. You know, they want to get the exercise, but they don't want to go to the YMCA and, you know, run the treadmill or do what it is out there. They want to come to Northgate and socialize with the other seniors and have a good time while they're bowling.
Tyler, talk about, do you remember going back one of the first times or even the first time you bowled? How many pounds was the ball, and were you two-handed, or how did you do it?
I've always bowled one-handed.
Okay.
I would love to learn two-handed bowling. I think there's a greater advantage to two-handed bowling. But in my day, that wasn't really a thing. When I first started, it was strictly one hand, and it was the conventional way of bowling. I started with a six-pound bowling ball. It was a Scooby-Doo bowling ball.
That's still heavy, though, for a four-year-old.
That was still pretty heavy. Yeah, don't get me wrong. But it was a Scooby-Doo bowling ball. I'll never forget. My dad was like, here you go, you know, and my dad was a big bowler. So that kind of got me into it and got me going. And then I just kind of progressed from there, six to, you know, eight. I wouldn't really skip 1 pound. I'd try to skip a couple pounds or skip 2 or 3 pounds, depending on how old I was. But I was working with 16 pounds, probably about 10 or 11 years old. But that was the heaviest that you can go. So I've actually came down to 15 now, so... Now that I'm getting older, I guess I could say that it's on the downward hill, but we'll see how it goes from here.
Two-part question. Any aspirations for the PBA Tour? And if so, if you make it, have a brand-new Scooby-Doo ball made.
I'm actually going to Vegas this April to bowl in the national tournament, which I've never done before. We have
like a kind of a qualifying thing?
It's kind of like that. You can win, and then they would definitely invite you probably to, like, the tour and stuff like that. I've never gone, but there are some guys from Galesburg that go every year. A couple of our guys have done pretty well out there, but from what I've been told, what you think you're going to bowl, you take that and you completely erase that from your memory because you're not going to bowl that out there. It's pretty hard. So we'll see how it goes in April.
What's the difference? Is it just a mental thing when you get that, when you've got all the people around? Because, yeah, granted, when you're bowling in a league or something out here, there's a lot of people,
right.
But all eyes are not on you. There's no TV cameras. There's no bright lights. Is that the biggest difference?
It's that, and it's the fact that the oil pattern's a lot different. Okay. Their lanes are completely different. We have wood lanes here with the Guardians on them. They have completely synthetic lanes, and it makes a huge difference. And they also have, like, 60 lanes on one side and 60 lanes on the other side. So it's a little bit different when you have 120 lanes there compared to our 40. But it is a major, major difference. I've never bowled there. The farthest I've gone to bowl was Ohio. I have gone out and bowled in Ohio one time at a major tournament. I did pretty well, so hopefully I'll do pretty good in Vegas.
What's the difference? I would say compare yourself to I don't even know. I mean, I'm going back and Pete Weber guys like that.
I compare a lot of people to. Yeah.
Okay, so what's the difference between what you're, because you're out there, you know, out here you're consistently bowling out at whatever your average is, which is probably up there with a lot of the professionals. Is it just that qualifying, or are all the lanes on that tour that tough?
They're that tough. Okay. I watch a lot of, like, Sunday morning bowling when the pros and stuff. I like to see that, and they give a lot of good tips and stuff on there too. And I actually have followed a couple tips last weekend that this week my game has improved quite a lot. So it's the consistency thing. It's them teaching you, you know, your legs need to be like this way every time and things like that. But they take it so much more serious. I mean, we take it pretty serious, but those type of guys, if they put a towel on another guy's bowling ball, they get kind of mad. So if we had those kind of situations every night, we would probably have fights at Northgate.
I guess when it's your livelihood.
When you have big money on the line, I can understand it. But they get kind of frustrated in situations that, you know, most people wouldn't. But it's things like that. And they also have fun out there, too, though. I like to watch it just, like I said, for the fact that they give the good tips. And you get to see what's up and coming. The two-handed, that's where I learned a lot about the two-handed, was on the pro tour.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Unger, he works at Northgate Lanes and Artspires, the owner of Northgate, joining us here this morning. I guess I asked because you talk about getting the tips. Is there a situation, do you have lessons at all, like for kids, or if they have questions, you guys, you can help them out?
We
or?
Have the Yabba League, and we have some coaches out that are out there on Saturday mornings.
So that's kind of what the Yabba League is, kind of an instructional league for the kids. Okay.
It's more of an instructive league.
Learning how and getting enthusiasm for it. Yeah. Because obviously that's the future of the sport, because you bring these people, young people, up and into it, and they're addicted to it for life.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I like about the concept of bowling, is because it's not age sensitive. You've got 3-year-old, 4-year-olds. We've got a lady bowler, obviously a senior. She's currently 98.
Wow.
And her objective is she wants to make sure that she's still bowling when she's 100.
Wow.
You know, so
that's pretty cool.
That is a pretty huge span.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I suppose for the kids also, teaching them properly and learning right, it makes it more fun. When you know how to do it, you're better at it, so it's more fun.
It makes it way more fun when you're a lot better at it. I like to watch when I'm out working, or if I'm just out there, I like to watch different people. And we actually had a middle-aged woman this week that came in and bowled, and her first game wasn't so good. So I just kind of went down and told her to keep her arm straight. She came out and bowled 7 strikes in a row the next game.
Wow.
And she was screaming and yelling, and she was having so much fun, though. And it was just to see the look on her face, you know, and her husband was just kind of like with his head down, like he knew he was getting beat that game.
Yeah.
So it was, but it was awesome. She actually shot 246.
Wow.
And she went from a 121 to a 246.
Wow.
And just to see the look on her face, and to see her 12-year-old boy look at her mom, look at his mom, and be like, oh, man, I wish I could do that.
That's pretty cool. Because one day I did really well. My high ever, the same day I had a 167 and like a 120 something. Otherwise, I'm lucky to break 100. But just for some reason, that particular day, it's like my arm went straight for the most part.
There are days like that.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. And there are other days where it seems like it's your first day back at it.
Which is most days for me. You mentioned how hard it is, the oil, different oil, the synthetic. Synthetic wood doesn't matter. I could hit gutters on any of them. I'd be horrible. Tyler Unger, Art Spires, is the owner of Northgate Lanes. We'll come back with our final segment. This is Galesburg Live. I'm Tom Meredith. Our guest this morning, the owner of Northgate Lanes, Art Spires. And one of the employees there, Tyler Unger, joining us here this morning. So, Art, you've had the place for just a little over 15 years, just celebrated your 15th anniversary. How long, do you know the history, how long Northgate's actually been there?
Yes, this is the 60th year.
Wow.
Because it opened in 1958. And we have one employee who has been there from the day that it opened.
Wow.
Bobby Frazier. You do the math and you figure out, well, he right out of high school, he went to work there on the opening day, and he knows everything there is to know about that place. If I'm remembering correctly, I think it originally was just 24 lanes, and then and that was in 58, and then around 63, the restaurant was added on. And 16 more lanes were added on, and the second floor for the pool hall, and that's where we are today.
Pretty amazing. What one of the cool things, even though it's been around so long, it was different and still always had kind of a modern look, because you see a lot of the alleys that look like old airplane hangars. They have that shape to them, and this is one that never had that. It looks like
right.
So kind of a cool looking place. Well, as you mentioned, bowling's not the only thing that goes on there. There's so much more and a lot that people can do. You got space to rent and everything. Talk about some of the other things. You mentioned the pool hall, and that's really cool. I remember the first time ever going up there with some friends. I'd been out of high school for a couple years and went up there. I knew it was there. I'd just never been up there. I was never a big pool player, but to see like actually really nice tables where you just weren't sticking the quarters in or whatever, and nice cues and everything up there. That's a really neat space. And again, that's just an enjoyable thing. You can, you know, stand there, you can have a drink if you want, and sit there and just chat and have some fun up there.
Oh, definitely. And we try to distinguish ourselves from the other places that there are pool tables in town, because all of those other places are bars.
Yeah.
So again, our kind of family orientation, which we try to emphasize there, is so it is a pool hall where parents can bring their children up and teach them how to play pool and learn how to do it and learn that it's a fun way to spend some time.
Yeah, which is kind of a funny thing because you think back, you know, I was growing up and probably you also that, well, the pool hall's not a place you're going to take your kids and you shouldn't be hanging out there either. Well, that's not the case anymore. That's not what this is about.
Exactly.
Exactly. So we've got the pool hall upstairs. Of course, the Acapulco restaurant is there and your little lounge there as well. And gosh, you've over the years, you've done a lot of things out there, brought in a lot of between musical acts, comedy. Kind of what was the thought process behind all the different things that you've done in there?
Well, part of that was just better utilizing the space that we had. We had the large open room area, which we call the club room. There's a stage there. We've added stage lighting to it. And so that has been a place where we have we've had weddings, wedding receptions, anniversaries, graduation parties, birthday parties, but we've also had bands come in. And although that is kind of gone as the price of bands charge yeah. have gone up. And then the We Eat Monsters, the improv group that was here for a number of years, we were the home, ultimately became the home base for them. And now we have Sugar High Theatrical, who does their performances. They, depending on what kind of show they're doing, well, they do things outdoors in the summertime, but they were there for their Christmas program and a New Year's Eve, and they're coming up with another program here this month in February. And so that's the new home for them, and taking advantage of the stage lighting, the stage, and the convenient parking compared to the other places that they've been. And so they've been drawing very good crowds for that too. So it's a space that's large enough to be very versatile in terms of how it can be used.
Is there also, I know they're kind of down there more kind of under the pool, hall, there was another room that used to be?
Well, that's the room that we're talking about.
Oh, that's the room we're talking about. Okay, I was thinking the line. Okay, so that's the room. Because I know it's been a long time ago when one of my kids was young. I remember somebody having a birthday party out there. They bowled and they used the room for the cake and food and stuff like that. So that's that room. Okay, so that's.
That room. Okay. And then occasionally we'll have, but it has to be not a band. It has to be something smaller. So a DJ or. Or solo artists will have in the lounge itself.
Yeah. Okay. What are some of the changes over the years that you've made or seen or kind of updates? I mean, anything from I know people expectations when the food you serve at the concession stand that you kind of expect, okay, this is what you're going to get at a place like this. Are things like that little things you've made, little changes and updates over the years, or you kind of kept it the way it was because that's what people like?
Well, it was never my intention to reinvent the place
right,
at all.
Right.
You know, it was I view myself as more of a caretaker for a Galesburg institution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and whether I'm doing a good job or not, that's for history to determine. But little tweaks. I mean, we added a third size of pizza. We now have corn dogs. So these are some of the things that we've added to the snack bar that we haven't had before. And other than that, it's just some subtle things. We did change things in terms of our New Year's Eve, program, but how we do that, I can't think of anything else at the moment. Yeah. Nothing big. It's just really trying to maintain and a tweak here and a tweak there kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, and the little things, I mean, updated. The scoring.
That's a whole new thing.
Right.
When I bought it, the scoring system was Mendez, and this one that Mary Strong had brought in. It was fairly old, quite frankly, when she brought it in, but eventually there was no longer even any support even for the program, and things happen. It's a computer-based program, and we were getting to the point that it was starting to fail. There was no one to call for help, the last year. We could no longer get daily sales totals. So we were just having to hit a little spreadsheet and tick marks to try to keep track of things. And I realized that we can't continue like this. It's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And started looking at something else, another type of system. There's new ones, you know, the AMF in Brunswick and whatnot. They always try to come up with a new product and a lot of bells and whistles. We looked at some of those. Tyler went with me to look at some of them. And the newest ones, although they were cool, I felt at least, I don't know what Tyler thought about it. He had fun with it, I know. But it was kind of like, okay, well, it's getting away from bowling and trying to make bowling a video game in a lot of ways. And I said, you know, we're people in Galesburg are a little bit more traditional than that. And I don't know that it might have a short-term appeal for some people, but it doesn't have a long-term appeal. And so we looked at what would be a good system and at the same time an affordable system because that's expensive.
Right, yeah.
Very expensive. And so what we finally, but yeah, this was something, not that we wanted to do it, but we also had to do it because if the existing system had failed, we'd have to close the bowling alley because we didn't have the program to run it. So it was, you know, do or die. And so in 2017 then, and we originally were going to do the installation in the summer, which would have been an easy time to do that. You know, we're not open as many days, the leagues aren't going, and that's when we do the things that you have to do periodically, like resurface the lanes and that type of thing. But one of the component parts, the hardware for the system, when they were getting ready to order everything, they weren't going to be available for 3 months. So we didn't get to do it in the summertime, which was ideal. And instead, we had to do it in late November, early December, which was busy time. There was a lot of teeth gnashing.
I bet.
And everything else to that. But we got a used system. It has some new components to it, but it's still a very current system. There's at least three or four bowling alleys within 50 miles of here that run the same system. It's Vector Plus, and it is supported by Brunswick, the manufacturer of it. And so we're up and running with a system that we can run very well for a good number of years now. The conversion to it was quite interesting, Tom.
Well, I'm guessing, Tyler, you probably saw a lot of stuff like, oh, these toys would be great, but probably some are really special. And a lot of the stuff probably unnecessary.
It's fun, but they're trying to make it a game into a game.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, you know, if you knock this certain pin down to get this item, and then this item unlocks this thing on the screen. And it's all fun, and I loved playing with it, don't get me wrong, but it wears off quickly. And it's all, you know, they're trying to get the iPads as the screens and stuff like that. And it's fun, but when you're dealing with kids, you can try and see how many kids can deal with an iPad for so long. And they all want to touch it. You know, it's all, let's touch. And we look more for, let's bowl.
Right.
But it's fun. But the one we have is also, it has some things, like you can change the screen and things like that. And it has different things that pop up if you get a strike or if you get a gutter ball or something like that. But it's definitely way more complicated than it needed to be.
That's Tyler Unger, Art Spires, the owner of Northgate. Tyler works there as well. Art, what are the current hours there at Northgate?
Current hours? I'm chuckling about that because our hours seem to be different and every day, and that confuses people. So we try to keep them current on our webpage, on Google, and every other place so they can see it.
Yeah.
But this time of year, we're open 7 days a week. And that's basically, but for example, I'm not going to do a whole 7 days for you, but for example, we're closed on Monday during the day, but we open up in the evening on Monday night. Tuesday, we have seniors bowling in the afternoon, and we also have leagues on Tuesday night, for example. So there's a little variance at every day, right. and it's all based upon what the league schedules are, because you have daytime leagues, you have evening leagues, and then the youth bowling is Saturday morning, for example. So, but we're 7 days a week, and that holds true from basically the beginning of September through into April, and then the leagues bowl a 30 to 32, 34 week season, and when they're done, a lot of them, they're out of there, and we don't see them until the next league season begins. Yeah. And so we reduce our hours to reflect that in the summertime, so we go from 7 days a week to 3 days a week during the summer months.
NorthgateLanes.com is a website. If you just Google Northgate Lanes, it'll pop up for you. For rental information, if somebody wants to, you know, whether it's a party to use the lounge or whatever, or a bowling party, how do they get a hold of you?
Give us a call or message us on Facebook.
Okay.
Or message us at our website. A lot of ways to get a hold of us. And even if we're not open, there is frequently somebody there, most frequently me. But Tyler often as well, and we love to, well, we haven't really talked about it, but we love to book parties. We have a lot of birthday parties. We're the place to go. With the skating palace closing down, I think that's going to be even more so. And so particularly, you know, Saturdays and to a lesser extent Sundays, you can see, go in there and you'll see lots of tables and lots of kids with birthday parties going on, and they have a blast. You know, it's a party where they're getting to do something, i.e. bowling, as well as the cake and ice cream and that kind of thing. I lost track of what else.
344-2311 is the number if you'd like to call. Yeah, I mean, get out. It's some fun. You can get a little exercise if you need that. Some of the great activity that if you get your kids involved now, they can be involved in for their whole life.
For the rest of their life.
Absolutely. Are anything else we need to know?
Well, I just when we were talking about the exercise and everything, sure. It's kind of comical. Why, you know, we have ceiling fans, and they must be getting exercise, because even if it's cold outside and the furnace is running, we'll still have them call up the counter, "Hey, could you turn on the fans?" So they must be getting a little exercise to get a little warmed up down
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely, getting a little workout. Well, Tyler, thank you so much, and appreciate everything you're doing. Art, I think you're doing a great job of being the gatekeeper of a Galesburg institution here, and things seem to be going really well. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Appreciate it. Well, thank you for your time, Tom. We enjoyed it.
Thank you.